with this generation, and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. When the multitudes would gather thick, you know, Jesus could sense their thoughts. I mean, he could sense individual thoughts too, but I'm just saying, the thick multitudes, all these people come to hear him. All these people, oh, look at all the people that want to follow Jesus. Is that so? Well, from his perspective, he sees an evil generation seeking a sign. When he says that, he means they want something special. They want something like heavenly plague, destruction, fire, power thing. They want him to show his power to destroy. Like he's been showing his power to heal. But the power they want to see is show us how you can burn down cities. Show us how you can make the blood flow. Show us your power to kill. And God certainly has the power to kill. I kill and I make alive, Deuteronomy 32. And Jesus Christ, when he returns, he's going to return with blood-stained garments, no doubt about it. But he had come in that generation to show his power to forgive, and his power to heal, and his power to do good. And he's saying they're evil because he's there to do them good, and they want him to do evil. And I'm not saying that when Jesus Christ comes, he's evil for spilling the blood of his enemies, but to them, it's evil. Meaning, that's why an earthquake is evil. You know, it's that impersonally, but it's not like wickedness where it's a personal thing. But evil can be a great, it is a much broader term. It can refer, evil can be famine, it can be murder, it can also be just sickness in general. Things that exist in the world that they undo good. They disrupt goodness and peace. And God disrupts goodness and peace. He can. And what do you think Sodom and Gomorrah was about? What do you think Nineveh was about? He sent forth Jonas to preach that Nineveh would be destroyed. That's what the message he preached. If the men of Nineveh had not repented at the preaching of Jonah, their city would have been destroyed. But Jonah was assigned to them. But he didn't come saying, and this is how he's going to destroy it, and you know, showing how God had the power to destroy. But rather, he came as one from the dead, coughed up by the fish. His body having been in the fish's belly for however long, you think about that, he might have appeared all white and horrible, and he might have, it might have been witnessed what happened, that a fish coughed up a man, and now he comes preaching this message. It's not really related, so we'd have to guess, and I don't like to do that. I mean, I like to think about it. There's nothing wrong with consideration, but I just can't establish it as, this is what happened. Jonah came out. He was all white. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, and just say all this stuff. But his preaching, the message he had, and the way in which he delivered it, was very simple. He was one arrived from the dead. And now he comes with all kinds of signs. All kinds of miracles. I mean, if a miracle isn't a sign, what is, right? And today, people don't even look for the signs that they were looking for. They were looking for plagues and or something nasty. You know, show us you can burn down. Call down fire as you know, as his disciples asked him to do. The rest of the generation were hoping for something very similar. When they said, show us a sign, that's what they were hoping for. Here is a sign, a fireball coming down from heaven, destroying a Roman legion. To them, that would be like, oh, you are the Messiah. The healings, though, they're like, you know, healing is fine, but it doesn't take care of the real problem, the Romans. And they sought some, and everyone there was hoping he would do. The multitudes of these peoples are hoping that he'll do something. Something spectacular. Something that's a real sign. You know, like Elijah did. Calling down fire from heaven. And as far as those kind of powerful signs go, he says, no sign shall be given but the sign of Jonah the prophet, the man preaching the word of God and arrived from the dead. The resurrection from the dead, because Jonas represents resurrection from the dead. He may have even died. I mean, you know, here's the thing, is it never says he was kept alive 3 days in the belly of a fish. In fact, when you read his account, It's very likely, sounds to me like he died. So Jonah the prophet, people are always like, how did a man survive 3 days and nights in the belly of a fish? He didn't have to. He may have died and been raised from the dead and coughed up on the shore. The Ninevites beholding this guy back from the dead, back from the belly of the fish. And then he starts talking. When that happens, you listen. And they did listen. As the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, did to the wisdom of Solomon. She traveled from the uttermost parts of the earth, from very far away, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. To sit and hear wisdom. I could hear wisdom, so I want to go where I can hear this great wisdom I've heard tell of. And here is the wisest of all, sitting there. And his wisdom, they do not receive it. And the wisdom of Christ is very wise. They do not listen. They do not receive. They do not hear it. I really have trouble picturing Jesus stating this to the crowds. The crowds are just thick. This is something he tells his disciples. Because they are the ones who, as Jesus says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The ones, he said, behold, my mother and my brethren, those about me. This doesn't seem like something meant for public consumption at that time. And of course, another way in which Jesus was just like Jonah is that because they repented not at the preaching of Jesus, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. It was destroyed. A lot of the archaeological evidence is confirming that the Gospels were written much earlier than a lot of critics would like to say, and that they existed, confirming what believers already knew, that these things were spoken beforehand. See, a lot of times, how critics work, how people who don't believe the Bible approach the Bible? They'll say, in like the later chapters of Luke, when he talks about the destruction of the temple, obviously they had to write that after the temple was destroyed, because who would have seen that coming? And so this probably had to be written after 70 AD, at least, 200 or 300 years later. And that's how they approach it, because they don't believe. And so they look at it as impossible. And that's the basis from which they go. And I understand their rationale in that. It makes a lot of sense. It's very wise for man. Why should you just believe something? I certainly wrestled with that. I certainly had a lot of trouble believing a lot of things when I started out. As I said, there are things that God has sent in my life to build up my faith and to cause me to believe, in spite of anything that would cause me to doubt. The things that he sent me to make me believe are so much stronger.